Hi, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Peter Llewellyn. I run the services at medcomsnetworking.com and the associated website. So that's information, resources, and services for people who work in and around the global medcoms community. So people in and around medical communications, medical education, medical publishing, and so on. Importantly, we do a lot of work for people, providing information for people who want to get into the business, maybe as a medical writer or as an account manager or whatever. I'm having lots of fun at the moment. I'm talking to people across the community and just asking them to talk about their personal stories. Tell us a bit about how they got into medcoms and what they do. So, without further ado, Hannah, I'm going to ask you to tell us who you are and where are you?
Hi, so my name is Hannah Stewart. I work for Page Medical Communications. We're based in Ely in Cambridgeshire, and we are a healthcare communications agency. So we have kind of five main arms of the business. So I am e-learning manager, so I work in our e-learning department. We also do events, so that's the in-person virtual hybrid. We do a bit of medical writing, we do comms and PR, and we do the sort of consultancy services as well. So that's me.
Okay, and you're working specifically in sort of the medical education side of that business, yeah?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so look, we'll hear a bit more about that in a moment, but let's go back to the beginning. I'm always interested in the personal journey. How did you get to where you are at the moment? So take us
Yeah.
back to the beginning.
So I started with my undergrad degree. That was in immunology at the University of Aberdeen. So really enjoyed that, found that really interesting, loved all the sciencey bits, but to be honest, was quite terrible at the lab side of things. Wasn't really for me. And I mean, all the kind of jobs I'd had, sort of part-time like retail jobs, were all very like people focused, always enjoyed kind of communicating with people, but didn't really know kind of what my options were as I graduated. So kind of spoke to different people, but really I bit random, but my kind of turning point was actually a visit to a science museum. I'd just gone kind of as I was graduating and kind of loved seeing all the different people there together, getting excited about science, learning things, getting engaged in very different ways, kind of interacting. And I just got quite inspired by that, and I thought, that's what I want to do. I want to get excited about science, but not necessarily work in a lab, work in things like that. So did a bit of research, and found science communication, medical communication, and took on a master's in science communication and public engagement at the University of Edinburgh. So that was quite interesting. Got to explore different options for communications. Some of that's very much, practical workshops, some of that's like museums, some of that's your traditional medical writing, journalism, everything like that. So got to learn a little bit about everything. And then when I finished that, I did some kind of those workshop jobs. I worked in primary schools for a little bit, but that was sort of temporary. And then found the job ad for Page Medical. And at the time, they were really specializing in the infection sort of topics. We do sort of more broadly healthcare now, but at the time it was infection, and I just thought immunology and science communication—that's exactly the two things I'm interested in. So, yeah, I've been working there 4 years now, and I would say this is my first proper kind of medcoms job, really.
Just take me back to the MSc. Was there any, just out of interest, was there any specific or even vague mention of medcoms or medical communications within that?
A little bit, but we found that I mean, certainly the people in the year I graduated, not everyone was biology or medical focused. We had chemists, physicists. We even had people who hadn't really done much science before, and were actually more on the journalist side and wanted to know how they could get into the medical sphere. So they talked a little bit about it, but I would say the master's I did was quite varied, whereas there are other master's programs which are more. They tend to focus in on that medical writing side, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do at the time, so I thought go broad and can learn a bit of
Yeah,
everything.
which makes sense. It's just intrigues me because it's part of my aim in life is to try and increase awareness specifically of med
Yeah.
comms and how does one do that basically? So you'd done your science communications, you were
Yeah.
doing the little bits and pieces. You saw an ad for Page, so that was really a bit random. It was just out of the blue.
Yeah, I was looking. I was looking for kind of different opportunities, and so I was based in Scotland at the time, but was kind of happy
Right.
to go anywhere in the UK. And then, yeah, just saw the ad, said kind of, I can't even remember what the job title was at the time, but
Right.
thought that it was quite interesting. And because it was the e-learning events and consultancy at the time, so we had three branches back then. So thought that sounded quite interesting, thought I could learn a lot from it. And it was a really small company at the time as well. So
right.
got to delve into everything. So I wasn't kind of tied to anything. As you might be able to tell, I don't like to commit too hard. I like to go a bit broad and see what works and then go from there.
Okay, so again, just trying to put some context on this for people watching this. So you didn't go for a medical writer's job or an account manager job, which is more typical sort of entry routes into medcoms. So it was events and e-learning, and e-learning was a big part of it. Yeah, so that was featuring in it. And you were, so your job, you can't remember quite what it was called, but your job was it content development or was it management of the content development, if you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I think certainly the people who come into the role now is science communication executive.
Right.
So it was kind of working on the content and e-learning sense. So, you know, I had people who managed me at that time. And so I would develop the content. So that would be taking the sort of information from the experts and sort of transforming it to be appropriate for those e-learning courses, which is kind of what everyone... I do less of that now on the content development side, but it's what a lot of my colleagues do. So that's, you know, breaking it down into that small chunks of information.
Okay, so arguably in other agencies, that is a medical writer's job.
Yeah, I suppose it would be. That's it.
Okay, but in many other agencies, and a lot of people look at medcoms as being, you know, writing publications or manuscripts, so you're doing different sorts of content and you're developing in slightly different sorts of ways. And e-learning platforms, which is in a fascinating area, and it's changed dramatically over the last few years, and particularly over the last couple of years while you've been at Page, I guess. I mean, the pandemic did accelerate developments quite fast, didn't it? The people that you develop e-learning for, I guess, simplistically, are healthcare professionals, mainly doctors. Is that right? Or
usually, yeah. So we've got a bit of a mix. We do a lot for different societies and sort of the government bodies and things like that as well. We do have a couple of pharma clients on the e-learning side as well for their kind of internal training, making sure their reps are up to speed on products. But a lot of what we do is for those societies and very much aimed at healthcare professionals, a lot, you know, maybe for those higher level consultants, pharmacists, people who've been in the job a long time and just need a refresh. But we have done in the past some bits and pieces for, you know, maybe people who are more on the layperson side and don't really have science at all. When it was, COVID was actually quite an interesting time because a lot more people kind of needed that education. So one specific project that we worked on was making sure nursery nurses knew how to keep everything clean and hygienic when the kids were coming back into that setting. So that was quite different because you've got to adjust your tone, you've got to make sure you're aiming it, thinking about your language, thinking about how you're presenting it and making sure it's relevant to them as well. So it's very easy to go off on tangents and get all excited about things, but if it's not relevant to someone, they're not going to read it.
Just out of interest, I mean, without turning this into sort of a tutorial on e-learning sort of thing, but just, you know, I mean, how do you go about sort of testing it and user testing it and finding out whether it is relevant and just talk a little bit about what you do on that front to sort of like prove and assess the efficacy of what you're doing there.
Yeah, of course. I mean, a big part of it is setting it up properly at the start. You know, you can dive into something, but if you haven't really set out kind of what your objectives are, your learning objectives, and understanding who your audience are as well, that's a big part of it. So we, the team, like our e-learning team, aren't experts in the content. That's one thing I will say. You know, we know bits and pieces. We all have scientific backgrounds, but, you know, we do work on like dentistry and things like that. I can't say I have any knowledge of that. but we sort of work with those experts to make sure it's hitting what their expectations are. And then we do try and link up with groups where possible. So, you know, if someone is looking to make sort of e-learning for the student level and they work at a university, that's a perfect group of people where they can pick out a few users and we can get their survey feedback. We can ask some specific questions, you know, is this relevant to you? Is this hitting what you would need out of a course? Sometimes there's, you know, it's more will launch it. The education is free and open access. So, you know, it's not as if people are paying for it, and we can kind of evaluate as we go. So some of the platforms that we use allow kind of that social learning, which means that we can get them to discuss things and we can read their comments. And right. It's quite interesting because some people will say, this is something that's completely new to me, but I like the way you've explained it. And some people will engage with each other that way. And then there's always, the option to kind of do surveys at the end of those things, evaluate how we got on, and then take that on to the next one, really.
And presumably the e-learning is delivered in a multitude of formats. So
absolutely.
I don't know. It's not just voiceover slides or something nowadays. You've got video and all. So, and you would be involved in all those sorts of different sorts of deliverables.
That's it. Yeah. So I think a lot of people kind of recoil in fear when you say e-learning because they're used to those very long voiceover PowerPoint style of things. But we find that with kind of trying out new platforms, there's lots of different options. I mean, some people love watching long videos and they find that really engaging. What we try to do is break it down into different sort of that multimedia format. So there'll be bits of text. We've got a design team who design sort of the infographics and can make animations. We like to work with the experts and get them to do kind of the talking head videos where possible.
Right.
Sometimes it's voiceover PowerPoint, but we do try and stray away from that, or at least keep the slides nice and simple. But also giving people different options. So, some of the clients we work with, their learners aren't necessarily based in places like the UK. They maybe don't have great internet connections and things like that. So we have to give them the option where if you can't watch this video, here's a summary of that. Here's your, transcripts and everything. And here's a different way you can, here's something you can download instead and have a read of that in your own time offline. So it is, it's interesting. And we try to vary it. And then different platforms will have different kind of interactive features. So obviously you've got sort of quizzes and things like that, but there's different types of activities and different ways you can get people to, engage with images, like I think they call hotspot imaging, where you've got the image and then different bits you can hover over to learn more about that thing.
So I guess, making it simple, there's quite a lot of variety in the job, which I guess is part of the fun of it. Yeah. Not just topical topics, but also the different formats, the different deliverables, and the different people you're working with, the experts and so on. There's quite a lot of variety from a lot of different points of view there. Just out of interest, what would you say to someone wanting to come into the business? And I'm putting you slightly on the spot there, but if I was someone who was just interested in what you're doing and thinking that might be a direction I want to go in, what bits of advice would you give me?
I mean, specifically for Page Medical, I'd say a lot of, when we hire people, a big thing is people's passion and genuinely caring about what they do. You can teach a lot of skills, but, you can't teach someone's, excitement for communicating these topics. So when we do hire, that is something that we look for, is someone who genuinely cares. So, that's one thing I would say. I would say that being an organized person is pretty essential. We have a lot of projects ongoing all the time. And so it's kind of understanding how to balance your workload, understanding how to prioritize, how to, meet all those deadlines, because it's not just one big deadline. You've got all those interim deadlines where you're getting your content reviewed by the experts and making sure that it's right before it goes out. I would also say, a bit of a cliche, but communication is pretty key. I think a lot of people assume that means working with people outside of your company, but actually our internal communications are so, so important to what we do, because everything is very team-based. You have project teams and you need to be able to, highlight when things aren't going right and brainstorm, problem solve your way out of that. But also if deadlines are approaching and people need an extra set of hands, we're all very aware of what's going on, which I really like. I've never really wanted to work somewhere where it was very solo working. You are on your project and that's it. I like the fact that everyone kind of knows what's going on and you can call upon different people because everyone's kind of got different, slightly different experience, slightly different things they've worked on. So those are your kind of top three.
Yeah, no, that's great. So it just gives, it's just interesting listening to you talk. And I think anybody else, it's just very interesting and you can get some insight into the sorts of the sorts of work that you're doing, but the sorts of people you're looking for. I guess that's what it's coming down to. And so that all makes loads of sense to me. And you're obviously enthusiastic and you're enjoying yourself, which is a great, and that's partly what I love about these stories, because we do enjoy what we do, and the stories are a little bit different, and we're everyone doing a little bit different things, but it's all just sort of part of this great med comms type business that we're a part of. So look, these are short chats, and our time's come to an end, so I'm going to draw an end to it again. But thank you hugely for joining us and telling us your story. I know I can speak for you and say anybody watching this, if they'd like to follow up and talk to you, LinkedIn is an obvious way of contacting you. Okay, so just for the purpose of the recording, I'm going to say goodbye. Thank you very much. We'll give a little wave. Take care. Bye.